Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
We here.
Welcome to the Real Football Podcast, episode 15. You're joining us live in a fiery session in the booth. And welcome back. February 15th. The weather is smoking hot in the middle of February.
He's lost his mind.
I'm back too, everyone.
Blake is back. He is back. But guys, sorry, a lot going on right now. But yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back to episode 1515, baby. Mm-hmm. The weather reads 13 degrees. Oh my goodness.
Celsius.
It's smoking hot. Yeah.
Very good.
Anyways, today is a 35 minute podcast. Yeah. And I want to welcome, well, we got the same four as always. welcome Blake to my left.
I'm back.
Antoine, diagonally for me.
Hello.
And as always, across from me, Julian.
How you doing, everybody?
I don't know if we ever introduced Miles. I have Miles to the right of me.
My name is Miles.
He introduces himself at the beginning.
35 minutes. Let's talk about some fixtures, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right.
Can we address the elephant in the room?
Let's save it to the end. Save it to the end.
The end?
Yeah. Elephant in the room is that there was an Arsenal City game that just happened. We're going to save it to the end. But let's jump into...
You're killing me here, Blake.
No, I know, but it'll be more fun. So let's jump into...
3 minutes ago, he was screaming in my face.
Of course,
but
that's just how it works.
But right? Okay, let's get into it.
I think you want to talk about West Ham 1, Chelsea 1. Oh. I mean, that's a pretty good place to start.
All right. Who wants to kick us off?
I'm just going to kick off by saying VAR is terrible, and this will be a common theme for this
What
week.
A save by Thomas Suchek.
Yeah, I know, right? Nah, VAR is genuinely shameless. I just don't understand what they do anymore. I don't understand.
And multiple offenses this weekend, too. Not
I know,
just
that's
one.
What I'm saying. It's this common theme.
Yeah. So I hate VAR, guys. I hate it with a passion. Even when it's getting it right, I hate VAR.
Yeah. Joao Cancelo scored, though. First goal.
Joao Cancelo. John Fiddler.
Bro,
sorry, my apologies.
Bro, I saw, like, a compilation on Twitter, and, like, it was a normal, like, player compilation, whatever, skills and tricks and goals. Mm-hmm. And then I deeped it. It said 147 minutes of play. That's crazy.
No, he's actually, yeah, he's
and
good.
And he's already got, like, a highlight reel longer than freaking Jack Grealish is this season.
Like, that's too soon, man. That's too soon.
Although he did add to his highlight reel today. Okay.
Anyway.
But what a player. And I've been saying it. I mean, Chelsea's basically like, I mean, right now with the last few weeks, they're kind of like a carbon copy of Atletico Madrid. But
yeah,
he's still balling out.
Yeah, I don't know. And did you guys hear about the Cucurella and Mudrick beef?
Oh my god! Yeah, I saw that.
I haven't heard about that.
I actually haven't.
It's so funny.
I'll explain it. So essentially, I can't remember exactly, but Mudrick liked a picture of a heat map of himself or a heat map of Cucurella or something, and it essentially showed Cucurella not playing Mudrick on the left wing at all. Like he only made one complete pass to him.
Yeah, he would always cut back.
Exactly, and Mudrick liked that post. So then, obviously, all the fans were like, is there something deeper going on? Which makes sense because Mudrick's a good player. You got to feed
also,
him.
There was also a post. Crazy. There was also a meme made of him. You know the Hotline Bling thing from the Drake where he points at it and then he kind of goes like this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was one where he went kind of like this to Cucurella or to Mudrick and then he was like, oh, yeah, those guys to the whole other teams. And then Mudrick liked it. So.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Honestly, I think Chelsea just in.
I don't think Cucurella is going to start many more games because Chilwell's back.
Chilwell's back, yeah. I think
it's just that's Graham Potter signing.
True. Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
This is player.
I think at the end of the day, it's just a. They're just going to have to take the L's and just move on to next season.
There's a couple L's in their signings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Not just.
They'll gel eventually.
Yeah.
They'll gel eventually. It's just
Is it Potter though? Because right now they're losing 1-0 to Dortmund.
Yeah, I don't know.
So is it really the signings or is it Potter?
I think we got to give it a few gotta get more weeks time. Until we really... It is a really tough situation that Potter is
has put himself in. It's a tough job.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he hasn't even gotten used to the players that he was introduced to when he got into the job. And now, like, he's got 10 more to deal with.
Yeah, he's brought in so many players. Like, it's hard to get them all to gel in such a quick amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think we can move on.
Moving on.
Spurs doing Spurs things.
Spurs doing Spurs things.
Against...
Conceded 4 to Leicester.
Bottom That's half crazy, Leicester.
Bro. Dude, they did us a favor the other week by beating City. Or they did Arsenal a favor by beating City, which was amazing. I think Conte is just too stubborn, man. Like, how are you paying Ben Davis at left center back? Like, that just doesn't that just doesn't work in my mind. I don't know how anyone thinks that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I agree. I mean,
what more is there to say?
To have Leicester score 4 on you. Brutal. And granted, they scored 4 against Aston Villa the other week, but it's Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Like, you're Spurs. You're supposed to hold your ground against bottom half teams.
Mm.
It's a little worrying. And it's like on and off for them.
Yeah. And Leicester played really well. Like, I think it was just a really well-rounded performance from the whole team.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't like a player that really...
Like, bro, Spurs just beat City.
That's what I'm saying.
And they're not losing to Leicester.
Yeah. I don't know. It was an interesting one, but I don't really care. It makes me happy,
It's been a down year for Leicester, but they're starting to look like
Leicester. The old Leicester.
Because, like, Maddison had a really good game, and I think he scored on assist or something, and Iheanacho...
Iheanacho has these bursts of form.
Yeah.
And I think it might be coming back. And it's usually towards the end of the season, too.
And then he'll go away for 9
months. No, I know. I always bring this back, but I have a buddy who's a City fan, and I used to always say, yo, Iheanacho's better than Rashford, that's better crazy. Than Rashford.
That was a
debate, and it was low-key looking like he might turn out to be, and then... We all see what happens. But I saw something really quickly just after the game. I saw that Arsenal are quietly monitoring the Rashford situation. I just saw that tweet.
What is the...
Like, okay, so like we haven't offered him a new contract yet? Is that basically
the
situation? It's like the Saka situation too?
I don't know. That'd be funny. Okay. Imagine. Oh my gosh, do you want to talk about more things to make me sad?
Yeah,
that make you guys 100%. Happy? 100%. Okay, so let's talk about Arsenal drawing and dropping more points.
Speaking
again.
Of VAR.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to like just move along quickly in this podcast because we all want to get to the juicy part. But this is a really important game because once again, VAR just forgot. It wasn't like they made a wrong decision. They actually admitted they forgot to draw lines and check one part of the play.
I know that your answer is going to be that this doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Did you deserve the win?
Absolutely not.
Brentford is a tough team to play. But to draw 1-1 in that manner to them, that must hurt.
No, it's annoying. And we didn't deserve to win 100%. But does that make it right that that the technology in play robbed us of that? No.
Yeah.
Man, I'm on fire today.
Yeah.
I can feel it. Right.
Just coming
I missed out. The pod last week.
I mean, it's been 2 weeks since you've been signed this booth. So, I hate VAR with a passion. So, I mean, I'm going to say that a lot in this episode. But again, if VAR is going to be in place and it's going to like kind of intrude on like the what I think is like the essence of football, at least get it right.
That's the thing.
For sure.
Like I can see the perspective of like, okay, we want to get rid of the wrong decisions in football, mm-hmm. whatever, erase the human error.
Mm-hmm.
But like when it's getting it wrong.
Yeah, it's brutal.
For 2 games in a weekend.
It's brutal.
It's disgraceful.
And egregious errors, not just little ticky-tack like his pinky was offside.
Mm-hmm.
He was offside, and it hit his hand. That directly stopped a goal.
The fact that it's the guy that should have been banned from playing too that scored,
this might make it even worse.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
What happened? Like, what's going on with that?
I guess it's an ongoing investigation. So they're.
I just, sorry, going back to the VAR thing, I'm so outraged by it that this guy just forgot.
Yeah.
In the best league in the world as well.
Yeah. Shout out Lee Mason.
And that's like the third, fourth
Big
time.
Pick up my guy Lee Mason in it, bro.
Third, fourth time that's happened against Arsenal. Happened against United. Happened against Newcastle.
It didn't happen against
I'm pretty
United.
Sure someone admitted.
It did not happen against
I'm pretty
United.
Sure referees admitted that that wasn't a foul.
No,
I can't fact
didn't.
Check it. I should probably can't. I'm pretty sure they did. 95% sure they did.
Point is, VAR is a huge inaccuracy. It's never accurate.
From a good source, Blake.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Arsenal fan TV saying that they should have gotten it.
Yeah.
Anyways,
moving on, if we don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Moving on quickly, swiftly.
No, we should take so much time to talk about this.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. It's a form.
So, yes, we can take as much time as we want on this because Bournemouth, my favorite team, and my favorite
Bournemouth
team,
that fell off?
Nah,
are they back?
They're back, maybe? 1-1 against Newcastle?
Who scores against Newcastle?
That's what I'm saying,
oh my
bro.
God. Who
oh,
did
yeah,
score?
I didn't even clock that.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yo, I couldn't name you like
I watched
two
the highlights.
Players of that 11.
The funny thing is I watched the highlights in preparation for this game. I still don't know who scored. I'll check right now for you. But no, like they had the one thing I did notice from the game is that they had like 15 shot attempts. And Newcastle had like 15 as well. Like they played well. Newcastle dominated possession, obviously.
Game.
But they played like they played like a team that wanted to win, which is always good.
Mm-hmm. Marco Senesi.
It was Senesi, the center back. Yes, it was Senesi.
Right. I love that guy.
Miguel Almirón back on the score sheet, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wrote down here in the note, I'm just so happy that Newcastle are dropping more points because I just want them in the worst form possible for this
United
League Cup final.
United is fighting for top four with Newcastle.
United
I guess
has
so.
Top four.
I mean, 1 week we're fighting for top four, the next week we're in a title race. I don't know what you guys want from us, but you know.
I mean, that's swiftly moving on to United Leeds. Julian, take us away.
Erik ten Hag.
They also drew last week against Leeds.
Sorry. The first.
Erik. Erik ten Hag is that guy. And I said before these two games,
what?
In the circumstances presented to us, with probably our most important player this season out, with the squad.
I know what that's like, sorry.
With the squad depth of a kiddie pool.
I know what that's like, sorry.
Come on.
Considering all those circumstances.
And see how we're still top of the league and you get sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Or sorry, we're second now.
It's also your excuses why you're gonna bottle the league. So
no, I'm saying, but we in our position, you can say all this stuff, but we were top of the league and you guys were just like fishing for a title race. But anyway, keep going. Go ahead. Because I said all of those same because I said all of those because I said all of those same points and you go, yeah, you bottled it. But in the same position that we're both in, look how well we are doing and look how incomparably worse you're doing. So there you go. Go ahead.
We are going to talk about Arsenal when we get to Arsenal because it's a totally different situation. In United's case, not only is it those factors, it's the fact that Erik ten Hag has been in this job for 6 months. And before that, let's not forget, it was an absolute dumpster fire.
Brother, you beat a managerless Leeds.
If we look at...
Solskjaer got you second.
and then he brought us like eighth. All right. So just... The job that he's doing, when you consider the circumstances, when you consider like all the mess that is Manchester United, I can name you 10 things that probably could have thrown this squad off of the run of form they've been on.
Should we?
But no, they haven't been. Okay, and look, we drew against Leeds. All right, I'll take the progress from that. Okay.
Oh God.
I'll take the result because then we learned from it. We went to Elland Road and we got the win. Okay. Go.
He has left it late though.
All right,
I was gonna say, I think we should have a new nickname for our favorite team in blue, Erik Chelsea Hog.
Ten. I get it.
Anyways. Moving on. City 3.
Are you done?
Do you have any counterpoints to
No, United are still doing great.
Rashford's celebration is stolen. He did not make it up.
From the beginning of this season. From the moment that we kicked off that first ball of the season with Brighton, it has been all about progress. Not about finishing top four, not about contending for a title. I would not even predicted us in the top six before this season.
That's fair.
When you consider that and the big picture expectations that Ten Hag was put on, and how he's blown every expectation out the water, he's him.
Right.
A better manager than Arteta. 100%.
Oh my God. Easy. 100%. All right. No. We're not going to get into this.
100%. Hold them back, ladies and gentlemen.
It's just so hypocritical. But anyway, we'll keep going.
We're okay. We will talk about this another time.
I don't want to talk about City Villa. I don't want to talk about it.
Skip City Villa.
They're
man. Yeah, we're
Liverpool 2, Everton 0, Merseyside Derby.
I'm like weirdly happy Liverpool won.
Are you? What?
Like, it's like, I felt kind of bad.
Schon Deich Bull.
No, bro. I want Everton to win.
No, you know what I mean? Like, I felt, I don't know. I'm one of the good ones.
My favorite podcaster is a big Everton fan, and I don't want to see them go down for that.
That's what, I guess. I like Gakpo. I think that's why, and to see him score was nice.
People were hoping for that 007 Gakpo.
They are so dangerous on the break, eh?
They are pretty dangerous. Like,
well, Darwin is actually look dangerous. I know.
Well, think of that front three, and then oh wait, they don't have Jota or Diaz yet.
Bro, yeah. We wouldn't be saying Darwin Nunez is this bad if he actually converted his chances. Well, this guy's an XG merchant. He has so many chances a game. If he actually converted, we'd be comparing him to Haaland straight up.
Yeah.
They're always dangerous. They just don't convert.
So yeah, I think it's a good step for Liverpool. And I put in my notes that could this be the spark they needed to go on a little run of form? Potentially. I mean, I don't know. I think Jota's close to coming back, is he not?
Yeah.
It's just depth. Once I get that depth in and Bacic, whatever you say his name, he looks so freaking good in that game.
He was good, man.
So I think if they can once again get their players back, I've said this every week on the podcast, get their players back. It's such an easy thing to say. It's no tactical analysis in it, but if you don't have your best players playing, Julian, look at me. If you don't have your best players playing, it's hard to win games. And yeah, I'm going to end off on that.
You're right.
But, as Miles would say, let's swiftly move on.
Right, guys, we're swiftly moving on.
What's next? Champions League is next.
Champions League is back. Ole, ole.
I'm so happy Champions League is back.
Me too, especially when Spurs lose again.
They are not cut out for this Champions League stuff. It's a shame.
They're just not cut out to like have Conte as a manager.
Brother is definitely leaving in the summertime.
Yeah. I think it was already announced, too.
Yeah. Well, he's not renewing his contract. He's
gone. So, do you guys know who... Oh, also, back to the...
But it was in Milan, so...
Yeah, it was, but do you know where they started as in their midfield?
No, who?
Pap Sarr and Oliver Skip.
Yeah, that's wild.
That was their mid... And I know Bentancur just got hurt, and that's huge.
Did Pedro Porro... Was that Pedro Porro that played?
He did play, yeah.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, he didn't play well either. He's so
bad. He's terrible.
Dude, Pap Sarr and Oliver Skip were their two midfielders.
Yeah, says a lot.
In front of a back three. With Pedro Porro and, like, what? Perisic on the left?
Mad.
Perisic and Emerson, yeah.
Can't win games like that, man.
Pedro Porro came on as a sub, I believe.
Oh, it was the game this week against Leicester. This weekend against Leicester that he played. Or did play.
No, I think he played. I'm pretty sure he played. Pretty sure he started.
I don't know.
But it doesn't matter.
Google says otherwise.
Again, Conte goes to the... Ben Davies, again, he goes to the same... I think he just goes to the same...
I don't like those managers that have favorites.
Well, I know.
Sure, they're like good team players, all that. Builds up the chemistry, the hype, whatever. But, bro, play your best team.
And when
why is Ben Davies playing?
When it's just not working, you need to change something. Tactically, you can't be that stubborn. If the players aren't going to play your style, and you're just going to not let up on that, you're going to lose. And for some reason, they can't sack him because it's Conte. But... When is it time to say the board doesn't care about Tottenham that much? Like, they really don't. But when is it time for the board to come down and go to Conte and say, if you don't get your stuff together, then you're getting fired? Because at this point, he plays the same system with the same players and expects the same result. It's literal insanity.
Yeah.
All right, so let's dip into that conversation a little bit. Who replaces Conte?
Oh, I have no idea. You bring Poch back?
Like, nah, dude. They've brought not only the best, arguably the
That'd
best.
That'd be a shout. That'd be a really good shout.
They have not only brought arguably one of the best, two of the best managers in the past 2 decades to try and manage this team. Like, you know, they've with the likes of Mourinho and Conte, they've also brought in Poch, obviously, who I thought put in a good shift. Like, it's kind of starting to prove that, well, I guess nobody that we know of in terms of managerial status would work for them. They would need to bring in somebody like what Arsenal did with someone young who brings a new look to the game, you know, something different because, let's be honest, man, Tottenham play such boring football and it's not working.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. The manager from Reims does not look too bad for them because he speaks English too.
Oh, Reims?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, sorry, I know you said it right. Will?
Yeah, no.
What's his name?
Will Still. I don't know his name, but he's doing great.
Something Still.
Wait, Englishman?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, the manager from who?
From Reims.
Will Still. I think it's Will.
He grew up playing Football Manager.
Yeah, the Football Manager guy.
Yeah, he's like 30. He's
31.
Than
you know that. That's crazy. How do you say it?
Reims.
Pay. I want to say. $31,000 per game because he doesn't have a coaching license.
Wild.
That's crazy.
Wild.
But it's paying off.
Insane. Absolutely.
Yeah. The results are.
They're like, what, 12 games?
He's making our man Balogun a $90 million striker.
Facts. Oh my God, bro. I got to say, too, sticking with this Champions League thing, I'm happy for Milan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've had a tough season.
They've been terrible in the league.
Yeah.
They've been really bad in the league right now. They've been terrible in the league.
No, but
those you know those two guys that always
The watch alongs.
Milan 1.
Player
Napoli 4. Player reviews. Tata, absolute trash.
Kalulu, negative 1 million.
That's funny. Yeah, shout out to shout out to them though. They're cool.
No, Italian football in general has like fallen by the wayside over the last few years. So whenever I see them get a result against like a Premier League opposition or like a big six team that we like hail as like one of the best in the world. Like I like seeing that. I'm not saying we rate Tottenham as one of the best teams in the world. Okay. But we talk about them like they are.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, no, I'm happy. And shout out Rafael Leão, as always.
Of course. Always. Mr. Antoine.
I'm okay,
I have a question for you.
I'm good actually.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Why does your team suck? No, go take it away.
Like
introduce PSG.
Nil, Bayern 1.
Mm-hmm. Every time the Champions League comes back, I get hyped. Okay. Mm. Every time we restart, I remember there's nothing to be hyped for. This time I wasn't as hyped because we're doing awful in the league. Mm. PSG. We're just. I don't even think it's the managers anymore. We've gone through Unai Emery, we've gone through Thomas Tuchel, we've gone through Pochettino, and now we're going through Christophe Galtier, and still...
Wait, one more time?
Brother!
Slow it down for us as well.
Christophe Galtier.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
So this whole podcast is just you guys fucking creaming away. We're cutting that out.
I wasn't going to go that far.
And now we're going through Christophe Galtier, and it's the same thing every time. We're not a team. It's just a bunch of individual talents, and it pains me because I love this team so much. Just we literally couldn't string two passes without losing possession yesterday.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I thought we were gonna. We're at home, okay? I thought we were gonna at least take the get more possession than them, bro. Mm-hmm. They came out on our own field and started dominating us. Started bombing. Why are you laughing?
Sorry.
They started sending in balls from João Cancelo and what's the guy? Their left back at the beginning.
I forgot João Cancelo plays for
Coleman
Bayern.
Coleman played left back at the beginning.
Yeah, they were bombing balls in for Choupo-Moting, bro. I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. Choupo-Moting used to play for us. He wasn't that good. Now he's going crazy against us. Yeah. It's just pain every single time.
Also, we get drawn the worst teams. The hardest teams. I know. And of course, City gets Leipzig or whoever.
It was Leipzig, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's tough. I'm not going to lie. Like, I can... I know what you're going through.
I don't know. I was hyped.
Is it like a chemistry issue with players?
Just a bunch of egos colliding, I feel like.
I think Argentina winning against France in the World Cup final was the worst thing that could have happened. Yeah.
Also,
PSG.
Bro, you can tell when Messi wants it and when Messi doesn't want it. When he was playing for Argentina, this guy was fighting for every ball, all that.
Yeah.
Sure, he's still doing that, but not to the same extent as he was. He doesn't really care, bro. If he was wearing that Barca shirt, he would care.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
There's definitely a sense of I've done what I've needed to do.
100%.
But he's still good enough to play in any team that, like,
yeah,
it's tough. Yeah. I want to just say that Davies assist to Coleman.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Big up the Canada boys. And he finally got Messi's shirt.
When he literally assisted, I was like,
and
okay,
he finally
I'm never,
got Messi's shirt.
When he assisted, I was in my head, I was like, I'm never going to hear the end of it from these guys.
It's okay. I don't. What am I gonna say? Arsenal hasn't been in the Champions League in 6 years.
Mm. So, all right,
don't worry.
I clown you guys.
I know.
Moving on.
So just quickly, I was like, oh, let's see if Kyle Aaron scored. No, they tied. Validly tied 0-0 this week. So nothing. And I don't think David scored recently. He's still on 14 goals. I think he was on 12 not too long ago. 14 now. I don't think there's any new updates with
still,
that.
It's still good.
But yeah, Davies assist. He got Messi's shirt.
Psh, big week for him.
Okay.
Beyond that, and then we also got where are the games happening right now. Dortmund still beating Chelsea.
Dortmund
beat Chelsea.
Beat Chelsea. Off a Karim Adeyemi goal.
Big shout out Benfica.
And who?
Benfica beat Bruges.
Nice. Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay,
Arsenal.
Let's do it.
Okay,
best segment of the podcast.
So Arsenal just lost 3-1 to Manchester City, and. It's awful as an Arsenal.
Arms of the angel.
Yeah, of course. And I'm sorry if I'm like really taking over this podcast, but I missed it, man. I miss that. And I feel like I have a lot of analysis to say. This is simply a product of Manchester City being far superior to Arsenal.
False.
Okay, go ahead.
Very false. No, you're wrong, Julian.
Okay.
Like, no. Okay, go for it.
This game, sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. But you...
Okay, let's do it.
But you drawing to Brentford last week...
Unacceptable. No.
But you dropping points to Brentford and who was it again?
Everton.
And Everton?
Going...
Like, okay, I'm sorry, but that's not City's fault. You can't blame Man City for you dropping points to bottom of the league, Everton.
1 point in the last three games is unacceptable. 100% I agree with you. I'm not doubting that. But at the same time, you talk about Manchester United as this team that has been, you know, exceeding all expectations, and Erik ten Hag is a master, and this team is so good, and they've done so well with everything that they've had to go through. Arsenal was in the literal same position as you guys. What was the difference? What was the difference? Beside the manager, what was the difference?
Okay, the difference was we were hailed to finish seventh this year.
So were we.
And you, no. You were at minimum a lock for top four. And to be fair, and to be fair, you've still exceeded expectations. Okay, but when you are top of the league midway through the season by 8 points with a game in hand, I don't care who's in second, the expectation changes from whatever it was before to, okay, let's lock in, let's win the title. And then the Everton game happened. And then the Brentford game happened. That's not Man City's fault that you guys were dropping points. Sure, Gabby Jesus got injured and everything, but you guys are bottling it. I'm not saying you guys are going to lose the league, but you're in the process right now of bottling it. I don't care what your preseason expectations were.
Okay. Fair point. But it's not the biggest bottle job in the history. Like you say it is, because it's not. Because how is Arsenal, who got effed over by Chelsea, who got screwed over by Chelsea in the winter transfer window, who tried to get in a midfielder, Brighton didn't want to budge. We got Jorginho, who their best attacker is out. The game against Manchester City, they lost 3-1. Thomas Partey, right before the game, is out due to precautionary muscle injury. How is Arsenal, when going up against Bernardo Silva, Kevin De Bruyne, Erling Haaland, Foden came on off the bench. You know who we brought on? We brought on Trossard. Great. You know who we have brought on next? Fabio Vieira.
Hey, don't disrespect.
No. I am going to disrespect. He's a great young talent, but he's not what we need off the bench. You know who would be coming off of the bench, who can provide energy and who has shown that he can score in big games?
Eddie Nketiah.
When Gabriel Jesus is in the team. You know who else provides a more depth to the squad when Partey's in the game? Is Jorginho, because he can come on for Xhaka, and Xhaka was really indecisive in the second half and cost us a lot of big chances. So when we don't have our best players to play in the biggest game of the season, yes, we bottled in the second half. Manchester City pressed us and we caved in. We tried to play out from the back. Ramsdale was way too slow. We tried, even when they were pressing us, we didn't want to boot long because we wanted to try and win the game. They pressed us into a shell and they capitalized on the mistakes that we made. We didn't do that. And that's the sign of a team that's simply better than you.
Look, the expectation wasn't that you were going to beat City today. You weren't expecting to beat City today. You weren't expecting to beat City today. Barely anybody expected you to beat City today. All right? We know that on paper they have a better team than you. Look, if you end up losing the title, there's no shame in losing it to Manchester City. But what you should be ashamed about, if that does come to pass, is the fashion that you would lose that title. Because I don't care who's in second place. Just statistically, it would be a massive choke. I don't care who's in second. Yes, it's Man City. Yes, they have one of the best strikers of our generation already in Erling Haaland. Yes, they are one of the most dominant forces that the Premier League has ever seen. But to anybody, you cannot bottle that kind of lead if you're trying to be a title contender this season, or if you're trying to instill a mentality in your players to be title contenders in the future. Understand? Okay.
Yes.
He's reluctantly nodding.
I can't say anything, though. I can't. But it's also, at every turn that Arsenal's had, there's been a new challenge. It's been VAR, and you can yell at me for that, but it's been VAR, and then it's been the transfer window, and then it's been Gabriel Jesus, and now it's Thomas Partey being out. At every turn, there's always something. And do you want to know? The best teams can overcome those regardless. Not saying City always... City gets their challenge, and actually it doesn't matter, because even though they breached financial fair play rules, they're still going to Nothing's going to happen.
Shoot,
so.
Guys, this doesn't matter at all if they get a points deduction.
They won't. They won't.
They probably won't.
Anyway. Also, it would take forever if they will. Like, yeah. By the city will have won the league already. So, it's like, what's the fun in them getting it taken away from them?
But, yeah. You know, whatever. Look, this is the bottom line, guys. I'm on your side in this title race. I'd much rather Arsenal win the pod, or not win the pod, win the title over City winning another one. Just because, like, I love you boys. I want to see that happen, no matter the feelings I have against Arsenal, what have you. But best believe, if they choke this title, I'm coming onto this pod, and me and Antoine are bringing smoke to you two.
Of course we are.
Okay?
No doubt.
But let's just let the record show, though, we both were never saying, oh, league is on lock for us.
Oh, yeah, the record doesn't say that. but I don't off think, the record, brother. You guys are...
No, I don't think I've... No, oh, maybe bro. Miles. Me? No. Not no. me either. I don't not think I've either. Ever said that the league was
never,
locked.
We've never gone text happy after we've scored a great goal and been like, oh, the league is ours. The league is ours. It's done. Lock it up.
At the beginning
up,
of the season, I beg to differ, but...
Nah, that was like jokes.
That was a
we
joke
did
at
never
the beginning
even,
of this
yeah.
season. Come on, now.
Look, whatever happens for the rest of the season, you guys should be proud of what you guys have done.
Obviously. I mean, we got Champions League, right? I hope.
It's just...
Guys got
Champions League. It's just... I was saying this earlier...
That was our goal, though, is to push on for top four.
And I was saying this earlier in the pod... Or before we started. I'm going to say it again because I think it makes sense. Before, in the latter Wenger eras and the Unai Emery era and the Freddie Ljungberg era... Just kidding. But in those eras... The hope would be gone by now because we would have lost away to Spurs. We would have lost at home to United. We would have lost away to Liverpool.
That's what impresses me most about Arsenal this year.
This season, we are beating these teams. We're going to Liverpool. Oh, we haven't gone there yet. Liverpool comes to us and we win. We go to Spurs, we win. We split with United, right? So these types of wins are amazing progress, as you like to say. They are.
It is.
But when it matters most... In the game that could have got us 6 points clear, potentially 9 if we win our game in hand. It all falls apart. And it did. And it started with Partey. And it started with Gabriel Jesus in right after the World Cup. And it always starts in the winter. The winter comes, no matter how good of a season that Arsenal had at the beginning, the winter comes, something goes wrong. And it's not even lost yet. All isn't lost yet. But as an Arsenal fan, as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, dude, I'm drilled to the core of just disappointment. That's why I'm like, I'm kind of happy that the disappointment I'm feeling with Arsenal is so different than what I felt before, because it's happy disappointment. It's not disappointment that they suck. It's disappointment that I know they have the talent to do something amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is what you should be taking out of it. But I think that will do. That's our Arsenal talk.
Yeah. A great little debate at the end there.
Yeah. I love it. But, you know, I think... Wrapping it up, like, it's, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of left speechless, but it's like, you know, it's tough. But, you know, this is like the challenge of the league is Arteta needs to find a way to motivate these guys, get them back. We have the likes of hopefully Partey next game. I don't know. Jesus back. And then we have all these guys on the bench that we need to try out, like QER and other guys like that and new signings. But
what happened to Charlie Patino?
He's on loan
at Blackpool. He's doing actually really well.
Good ball knowledge.
Shout out. But yeah, so we will see with that. But guys, much shorter listen today. Hopefully, you know, you guys like this style. We'll be doing it back and forth.
We doing a pod during reading week?
We'll talk about it.
I'm here.
All right.
We'll talk about it. But guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
And we out.
Yep.
See ya.